go. All right, everyone. Well, let's give it... I can't see that far. 15 more seconds. All right. We have our call to order. Welcome to the Wednesday, May 17th meeting of the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Bright?
Here.
Director Karen Ray Russin?
Here.
Director Austin? Not here.
All right. Would you please, if you're able, stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Any need to reorganize the agenda, Ms. Bright?
No, ma'am.
All right. Then we will proceed as published, and we will open up public comment on items not appearing on the agenda. And seeing no one in chambers, we'll close public comments and we'll move on to item five. This is the consent agenda. We have four items on this tonight. We have the approval of warrants, the approval of meeting minutes, a request approval to purchase a 6-inch portable Thompson pump, and a request approval to purchase a 12 MGD emergency bypass pump. Do you have any questions of staff?
I do not, thank you.
Nor do I, so we will open public comment, and seeing no one here, we will close public comment and bring it back to us for a motion and decision.
Well, I move that we...
You want to get your mic on.
You should turn this on.
You got it. Oh, there now you turned it off. There you go. Now it's on.
Oh, there. Okay. I make a motion that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
All right, and I will second, and can we get a roll call, please?
Director Bright?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Item six is our wastewater treatment plant redundancy project update, and I will turn it over to Mr. Gent.
Good evening. Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. At the last board meeting, your board requested a financial update on the potential impacts of the scheduled delay. And so the staff report before you, I am going to read a section of it, so I'll apologize for that. But I did want to touch on different components as we move through, because there have been some changes since Monday of this week that I wanted to elaborate on, and it's mostly good news. So the item before you is a redundancy project update, and it's a report on redundancy project material delay impacts. And I'll kind of start down in the discussion. So since the start of construction, the project had been projected to generally be completed on time. The construction schedule would periodically float beyond the contract completion date and pull ahead of the contract completion date by a week or two as anticipated durations for various construction activities and equipment deliveries changed. M&S and the district's project team have been monitoring and discussing these activities and working with FELONC to mitigate various schedule impacts along the way with a high degree of success overall. The majority of the heavy construction is complete and concrete structures and buildings are constructed. The main pipelines and equipment are installed. The new secondary clarifier has been successfully commissioned and put into service, and rehab of the existing secondary clarifier is nearly complete. They'll be filling that tomorrow with water. The project is moving quickly towards startup and commissioning for the refurbished secondary clarifier, the new aeration basins, and the new sludge thickening system. Earlier this year, the project schedule suffered from delays in receiving the equipment for the existing secondary clarifier. FELONC and the district's team worked on various strategies to reduce the overall project impacts. Some of these measures were successful in reducing the overall impact by 2 to 3 weeks. However, as of March 2023, FELONC was anticipating substantial completion approximately 6 weeks past the contract completion date of August 21st, 2023. FELONC is currently completing the work on the existing secondary clarifier, installing electrical and coatings on the rotary drum thickeners, completing floodproofing across the site, and completing the site flat work, the gravel, concrete, and paving. While this work is underway, FELONC has also coordinated manufacturer site distance for equipment startup and training, and working to obtain remaining materials and equipment required to complete the aeration basin systems. Two pieces of equipment have been delayed: stainless steel isolation valves for air piping and dissolved oxygen probes. Both are being provided as part of the blower equipment package from the blower manufacturer. To comply with the requirements of the U.S. Department of Agriculture loan, the isolation valves needed to meet American iron and steel requirements. The blower equipment package order was submitted in August of 2021. Yes, that's correct. It is 2021. And after the equipment submittal was reviewed and returned without exception, after several delays on the equipment, Phelons pursued an alternative manufacturer for the valves in July of 2022, but found similar estimated delivery times. And so what we're talking about here is the American steel industry are not readily producing these valves right now. So we have these small 4-inch valves on the air system. There's four of them. It's about $16,000 worth of parts. And the requirement has been that they had to be produced in America to be installed on the project. And so in this next paragraph, we talk about the USDA waiver process, and that's what I wanted to report. So on Monday of this week, we did hear back from the USDA, and they are going to let us proceed with non-AIS valves. So those have now been ordered. And the dissolved oxygen probes that were also referenced have been ordered. Phelons had ordered those around the time of publication. And then Monday of this week, those valves were ordered. So I'm saying that because the long duration analysis that's later in the report is likely not the case any longer. We're probably looking at a 4-week type additional delay and not the 8-week additional delay that's referenced. So I'll continue. As of the week of May 8th, it appears the DO probes are being sourced and will no longer be on the critical path. The isolation valves, however, are an outstanding issue. No longer, we don't have an actual lead time. We're being told 6 weeks right now on those delivery, but that doesn't impact the critical path like it did. So we are expecting a full schedule update, and next month we will have a full quarterly update for you that'll look at the schedule. But the contractor is revising with this new information since they just placed the order this week. They haven't given us an updated completion date. Additional project delays beyond the estimated August 2023 completion could be up to 8 weeks. And now we're saying 4 weeks, up to 4 weeks, due to delays in startup of the aeration basin. At a total estimated equipment cost of $16,000, Phelons could choose to order the non-AIS valves. That's no longer relevant, so I'll kind of skip over that because they have now ordered the valves. The district project team reviewed the estimated construction schedule and considered the contract terms. Per the contract agreement, Phelons accepted the provisions of the agreement to liquidated damages in the event of failure to complete the work on time. The agreement stipulates the contractor shall pay the owner $3,500 for each day that expires after the contract completion date until the work is fully complete. This amount is determined on the estimated cost of the district for delays in the work, including the time for construction management, engineering, and administration. And that's really the direct cost to the district, because we're not under any stipulation to have this delivered. It's really the cost of continuing to keep the project open and having folks like M&S and MKN and those inspectors on site. And so that impacts us. Those costs are about $3,500 a day. And so Eileen with MKN did a review on that and saw that our actual costs for those services range between $3,300 and $4,000 a day. And so that kind of continues. And so if we look at the table here, and I'll explain this a little bit more. So liquidated damages are damages that the contractor pays for the delay. And so you can see in these scenarios, the contractor is substantially impacted financially with some of these delays. So our most recent formal update from the contractor showed them being approximately 41 days behind schedule. And that would cost them $143,500 in liquidated damages. And if we saw an additional 4 weeks of delay, they would pay the district $241,500 in damages. And then Eileen also included the 8-week scenario, which we no longer believe to be the scenario, but that would have been $339,500 in liquidated damages, or LDs, they're referred to sometimes. And I, for the presentation, I included another table that kind of shows what the estimated cost to the district would be. And so with the April update, where they thought they were 41 days behind schedule, the estimated cost to the district is $0 to $20,500. And
where's that table?
It's not in your staff report. I just added it to the presentation. Okay. Yeah, so it's only on the screen here. So it's a very similar table, but the only thing that's changed is instead of the contractor's cost, I've shown the district's cost. And so if you look about midway down, you can see the referenced 41 days, and then you'll see the estimated cost to the district at $0 to $20,500. And why that's it would actually be slightly negative, because the range of our costs, as Eileen had projected, we're running costs about $3,300 to $4,000 a day is what we're running it for inspection and those services that would be captured. So there might be no cost to us. Inspection should be lower by the end of the project as things are ramping down. So we would expect to be on the lower end of that number. But you could see with the additional 4 weeks of delay, we have exposure up to $34,500 in costs to keep those inspection services on site during delay. So as far as fiscal considerations, the redundancy project budget and financing plan were updated after bids were received in November 2020. The project is being financed through certificates of participation and a loan from USDA Rural Development. Project costs have been consistent with the budget to date, and construction change orders have totaled less than $408,000 so far, equivalent to 1.5% of construction cost. Contracted liquidated damages amounts generally protect the district from incurring substantial costs from the delays. There's adequate budget to continue construction uninterrupted. The project team continues to seek alternative ways to mitigate the schedule impacts. And so with that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
I do. The simplest things. Yes, please. I'm just wondering about the liquidated damages. In all of my years, I think we maybe used them once. But, you know, I don't know. How do you come to the number of $3,500 a day?
So that's a dated number, but that's what went into the contract. And so the design engineer actually calculated that based on these exact type of estimates for costs. You're not allowed to arbitrarily set. You have to go through a process to set liquidated damages. We couldn't just, like, make up a number that sounded good. So we have to, it's not a penalty. So it has to be an actual cost, and that, mm-hmm. So that's how they were established at the beginning of the project back in 2019.
So do you know of any contracts that are of a lengthy duration, if they have any kind of cost of living increase or anything like that, that are applied to the liquidated damages?
That's not unusual for long duration contracts, but our contract does not have an escalation clause in it for the LDs.
Okay. Those are my questions. Thank you.
I just have a few as well. So first of all, I want to go back to going from being 3 weeks ahead to being 4 weeks behind. And that happened really, really fast. And I just need you to remind me. I know you've told us, but I need you to remind me how that about face happened. In that, did we just all of a sudden realize that parts we ordered 2 years ago weren't going to come, or how did that go?
It's really a result of the vendor continually promising a delivery date and then extending it 6 weeks, and it kind of kept the contractor locked in limbo. And it was when the impacts became real and that that aeration system not being online became critical path, the district stepped in and started pushing to get answers. And it really what we took on finding the DO probes that are now ordered. We took on that effort, reached out to the vendor through our contacts because it's equipment we have already, and we're able to source it and get it on the way to assist the contractor. It's still fully in the contractor's hands, but they used our connections. And then on the valves, it was when we realized that was going to impact the schedule and they said they weren't going to be there on time, we reached out to USDA to pursue the waiver to eliminate that issue as well. So it really has been, in fairness to Phelonc, their vendor, this has been covered in our weekly meetings for quite some time now, their vendor has promised and missed deliveries for over a year now. They were expecting those parts a year ago, even though they were ordered a year and a half ago, but they were supposed to be delivered a year ago. And so they've done the extra work. They've installed temporary non-AIS valves so that we could do some of the startup testing on the blowers. So they've been responsive in that way, but the conditions in the USDA funding have really just pushed them to think that they had to meet that the whole time. And there's not a lot of flexibility. USDA, they make you prove that you can't get them. And so we had to provide all this information that of the delay and the other valve manufacturers that we contacted as part of that waiver process. And so we completed that, and we're lucky enough to get the USDA to agree quickly.
So the fact that it had gone on for that long is probably why they agreed quickly. So if we'd started 6 months ago, it might have taken them 6 months to give us that anyway, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, they would have taken a longer time.
Right.
And when we communicated that this was going to be a substantial impact over $16,000 worth of material, it's not really in the interest of America to penalize a contractor by hundreds of thousands of dollars so he can buy $16,000 worth of valves from an American manufacturer.
Right. So then my next question is, you mentioned that Phelonc is dealing with their vendor. And I don't know enough about how the chain of command works. So in their contracts with their subcontractors or vendors, do they also have clauses like these that protect them?
Yes, and they do intend on passing their liquidated damages on to Airzin, the blower manufacturer.
Okay.
So that has been their stance. Now, and I'll to go back to somewhat to Karen's earlier comment on, she doesn't recall when liquidated damages were. And on small projects, I think that's the case. Agencies do sometimes just eat those type of costs on those delays. That won't be the case here. We will expect compensation for those delays. But it is something that'll probably, like if they try to get Airzin's a big manufacturer, they're not going to go easily on it, but they do have protection. They believe that they have protection in their agreement that the material should have been provided and that their vendor is on the hook for the LDs.
Got it. And so would that be a, and I'm asking because this isn't Phelonc's fault. I get it. But, and the cost to us is different than the contractual liquidated damages. So I didn't know how much we would want to work with Phelonc on that, but are they going to pass the entire amount through?
So I believe they would pass the $3,500 a day through to the, and if we had costs that fluctuated between that $3,300 and $4,000 a day, I think it's likely we would just absorb those impacts rather than trying to get some higher level from Phelonc or higher level from the vendor. Just because we have a signed agreement that says it's $3,500 a day, and to do something different would probably incur costs on, you know, the legal side that we would quickly run into if we're looking at $30,000 in district costs, we could spend that pretty quickly.
Well, and that's my question. My next question is, if the additional 4 weeks costs us $34,500 and our contract says we're going to get $241,500.
That's the delta. This is the delta here. This is what we would be paying in excess of that. So,
oh, in excess of,
yes,
the 241.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
This is what's not covered by the con. So it's between zero and 34,000.
I thought that was instead of, like, we negotiated this thing, but this is the actual cost.
Good
now
question. Yeah. Okay.
Thank
yeah.
you. Okay. That negates that whole line of questioning. Okay. So, thank you for setting me straight on that. That is my only question then. So we will open up public comment. And seeing that we have no public here, we will close public comment and bring it back to us for, I guess this is just receive and file. Do you have comments to make?
No, I do appreciate you keeping track of this. And so, no, that's about it. Thank you.
And I just have a very quick question / comment. I guess it's really it's a question. So we have council report outs next week because we do that second half of the month. So would it be relatively safe to report out that we're 4 weeks behind delivery schedule and that we're looking at maybe a fall completion?
Yes, I think that would be an accurate report.
Is it possible that it might get better than that?
I would suggest no. Based on current information, okay. I think the Monday update was the best news that we were hoping for to reduce the schedule. And so I think that's the current best case.
Okay. So we went from 8 to 4 and now we're thumbs up and we're looking at maybe September.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, great. Thank you very much for that. So that is receive and file. And let me scroll back to where I need to get to for my agenda. So that moves us to item 6B is the 23-24 fiscal year budget and to set our public hearing for June 21st, 2023. Sir.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is the 23-24 draft fiscal year budget, and recommendation is that the board provide input regarding the proposed 23-24 budget and set a notice public hearing for June 21st, 2023. Before I turn it over to Amy for the presentation, this will be an interesting year for the district as we bring redundancy online. So some of the budgeting are more estimated than they have been in past years as we look at chemical and energy costs for the new process. And so I'm just putting that out there. We did our best. We worked with the engineers to come up with some of those rates that we could expect, but we haven't ran any of these new systems, so we don't know the consumption levels to expect exactly. And so I'm just saying that we might see at the mid-year us coming in to make changes to the positive or negative to different accounts as we kind of figure out how the redundancy project is going to actually impact the budget to the plant. So with that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Amy Simpson for her presentation.
Good evening, Board. This is your fiscal year 23-24 draft budget. Tonight's recommendation is that the Board provide input regarding the proposed budget and set a notice to public hearing for June 21, 2023. The district's capital program consists of two projects during fiscal year 23-24. The redundancy project, it will be complete construction and operational startup of the redundancy project this fiscal year, and the SCADA project. This budget includes $50,000 for final completion and integration of the district's system control and data acquisition software with the redundancy project's new equipment. These efforts are focused on integrating control over the existing plant infrastructure with control of the newly constructed process and equipment. This year's anticipated revenues are $10,317,000. Service charges and fees are anticipated at $5,725,000. Connection fees, $95,000. Interest, $208,000. Use of bond funding, $4,174,000, and brine revenue at $115,000. Total operating expenditures are anticipated at $4,168,000. Operating expenditures consists of salaries and wages, employee benefits and other personnel costs, permits, fees, and licenses, communications and computer support, administrative costs, legal costs, engineering, coastal hazards and monitoring, LAFCO budget share, Zone 1-1A agreement, agency billing, disposal services, utilities, maintenance tools and replacements, materials, services and supplies, training, education, and memberships. Administrative costs are anticipated at $286,500. Administrative costs consist of computer support, advertising, legal and recruitment, insurance liability, professional service electrician, public outreach, auditing, board service member, human resources, chemical analysis, records management, AGP video, fiscal services, strategic planning, and ocean outfall maintenance. Maintenance tools and replacement is anticipated at $257,500. And in this category, we have regular equipment maintenance, automotive maintenance, structure maintenance, and trunk sewer maintenance. Materials, services, and supplies are expected at $914,700. In this category, we have safety supplies, temporary labor service, employee uniforms, equipment rental, gas and oil, administrative building supplies, lab supplies, office supplies and expense, plant chemicals, office equipment, computers, and GIS system. This year, staffing will remain the same as last year. We have one district administrator, one secretary bookkeeper, one plant superintendent, one plant operations supervisor, one plant senior operator, one laboratory technician, and four plant operator grade twos. There are 10 full-time positions funded in this draft budget. This budget includes $185,200 for temporary operational staff that will be necessary as the redundancy project is commissioned and brought into service. Temporary staffing will be employed to assist during the 6 weeks of the 24/7 startup operations and the first year of new process operations. This expenditure will only occur during fiscal year 23-24 and will not continue beyond. Total other charges, $1,036,000. This is the debt service to pay our bond and COPs. Our capital operating in Fund 19 is anticipated at $35,000. We expect to buy a valve turner, a plant, update the plant Wi-Fi, and a new sampler for the laboratory. Our capital outlay in our expansion fund 20 is $4,337,000. This is the amount we expect to spend on the SCADA system to finish and the redundancy project. This amount will complete all the contracts. Our proposed fund 26 capital projects. We anticipate $711,000 under structure, grounds, maintenance, and improvement. In addition to the $711,000 is $30,000 for emergency equipment repairs. This year, we would like to purchase or update the cogeneration unit, the influent slide gate, the chemical storage station, the demolition of the sludge thickener, the chemical tank replacements, the Andritz centrifuge project, plant light post replacement, building lighting, sludge bed water valves, and upgrade city water project, and new asphalt. Your draft budget for fiscal year 23-24, we have total funding source of $10,317,000. We anticipate to spend $10,317,000, which would give us net zero or a balanced budget. In conclusion, the draft budget proposes to meet the operational, maintenance, and capital needs of the district. This fiscal year, the district will expend all annual revenues along with a portion of the bond funding for the redundancy project. This fiscal year 23-24 operation expenses are 2% higher than last fiscal year. This 2% increase is largely due to two primary factors. This budget includes costs associated with operating the expanded facility post-redundancy, and that the new aeration basin blowers consume substantial energy. This budget includes additional budget for higher electricity consumption. And during startup of the new process, it is known that chemical demands and laboratory testing will be increased. This proposed budget includes the needed budget to meet these expanded demands. And this final slide is the consolidated budget that shows all the accounts that I have just discussed. That concludes my report.
This chart says it all.
Just read that chart. There you go.
Thank you. All right, let's see if there's questions. Karen, do you have any questions?
Actually, just one. Very concise. Thank you very much. I read here somewhere that your cash reserves are $16 million. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Sure can. Fund 19, the operating fund. I don't think I did a breakdown of the cash.
It's the first paragraph under discussion in the staff report.
Does it? No. In Fund 19, I think we have $9 million. And that is mostly the operating costs, and that is where we keep all our service connection money that comes in for treating the wastewater. And Fund 20, we have our LAIF money, which is about $2.8 million, and the bond money is in there.
Okay.
So there's a lot of money still in that one. And Fund 26 has $720,000, and that was anticipated for the projects that we were going to complete this fiscal year.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. These have improved so much over the years. Yes. Remember when I first got here? And now I just sit here and smile and say thank you. So yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So I have no questions, and I am willing to move forward with the understanding that we're going to have bigger than average mid-year budget reviews, obviously. So that's just how it's going to be, and that's what we'll tell the public 6 months from now. And hopefully they'll be super cheap. I'm not holding my breath, though. So let's go ahead and open up public comment. And seeing no one in here, we will close public comment and bring it back to us for comments or taking action. So do you have any comments to make?
No, I think I've already made them. I do appreciate the concise agenda item, and all on one page is fabulous. Thank you.
Welcome.
Ditto. So with that, I will move. Do we need two separate motions, Keith, or one motion and will suffice?
One motion is fine.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that we accept and approve the proposed 2023-24 fiscal year budget draft, and that we set a noticed public hearing for June 21st, 2023.
And I'll second that.
Okay. So we have a motion to second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. And because this is a second meeting of the month, I presume that's why we don't have a district administrator's report tonight.
Correct.
So that will take us, if I could scroll fast enough, to adjournment. So, no, board member communications. Any communications?
No, ma'am.
I want to say thank you to the district for, again, stepping in. And I don't want to say doing freelance work, but it's been a partnership, and you guys have worked together so well. I hate seeing overages costs for them just because they've been a great partner, and I hope that they are able to recover that because it's not their fault. And so I just want to say thanks to the district for that, and a shout-out to Freelance that no hard feelings.
Sounds good.
All right, so with that, we are at item 8, adjournment. So our regularly scheduled meeting for the beginning of June has been canceled, and so we will use the second date, the third Wednesday. So that'll be June 21st, 2023, right here at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
All right, see y'all soon.
Bye. Thanks.